Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Happy President's Day to all of you. Happy President's Day to all presidents past, present, future. It's President's Day. You may have the day off, which means you're probably sleeping right now. But Seth and I are here. The store is open, the hot takes are steaming, and we are ready to go.
Hey, good. As you mentioned, President's Day, it seems like our most frivolous holiday in a lot of ways, especially since this government is supposed to take the focus off of the president. It's supposed to be the three branches, and it feels weird that we don't have a Supreme Court Day or a
I'd be here
Congress
for that.
Day. Everybody loves Congress, right?
The more days that we have, the more comp days you and I get when we work these days.
That's true.
So I am down for whatever. This will still probably be called President's Day, but I think there will be a day. I hope I'm alive to see it. Where it will be the day after the Super Bowl holiday. When the NFL schedule ultimately gets expanded, they just need to push it two more weeks.
I feel like the framers would have appreciated that.
Yeah.
If they had said, two centuries hence, we will have a weird game where a bunch of guys in tights chase a little ball around.
Right, with helmets on.
And that's how we'll occupy a lot of our time.
Mm-hmm.
There will be no more plowing of the fields. We'll have GPS-directed tractors for that, and there will also be technology involved in baseball.
Yes, there will.
Quite heavily so at times.
We will talk a lot about football, except right about now, where we've talked almost no football the last week or so, which is very, very strange. I was thinking about that. We'll get to that later. I was thinking about that over the weekend. I'm like, God, what would our top headlines be had the Astros not cheated in 2017?
Tom Brady. A lot of quarterback talk. Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of when in doubt, quarterback it out.
Yeah.
Talk about quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because people love that.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of glad the Astros cheated in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little more fun.
It's to talk about at least. I don't know if it's fun to talk about anymore.
Is it losing its steam for you?
I remember listening to a couple of Boston radio hosts about 6 months after Deflategate started. So this would have been, maybe it was right before training camp. So 6, 7, 8 months after it.
Right.
And they just sounded beaten down and haggard. Yep. Whatever the audio equivalent of seeing a Rocky at the end of Rocky 1,
right?
That's what they looked like. Except they weren't happy to have just made it through 15 rounds.
Okay, so before we level set everything, if this were a prize fight, what round are you in right now? In the battle of pain versus the Astros sign-stealing scandal, what round are you in right now? How beat up are you?
It's round two, and I just realized that I hadn't been training the way I should have.
Okay,
I took my opponent lightly.
Okay, gotcha. So this ain't going 15 rounds.
Yeah.
It's funny.
I'm Apollo Creed. Maybe couple rounds into it. When did Apollo Creed first realize that he had a fight on his hands?
Against Rocky?
Yeah.
It was in the first third of the fight. They went 15 rounds back then.
Right.
So I would say it was probably in the early part of the fight. Rocky landed like one punch that was like, whoa.
Caught his attention.
Yeah, an attention grabber.
So I just got hit with a left from some thug from Philadelphia, like Rocky.
Or from Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, that thug Yu Darvish.
Right. So here's where we are. I feel the need, since it's been a fairly eventful 2 days since you and I talked about this thing. You and I last spoke about this thing, Carlos Correa went off on Cody Bellinger. The players, again, have spoken multiple times. Some players are choosing not to speak anymore. The commissioner did a gigantic press conference and interview that we're going to get to later on this hour.
I didn't even know there was, I saw the interview. I didn't even see the press conference. There's so much information to still soak in from all this.
There is. And when guys like Correa are doing interviews with Ken Rosenthal and the locker room media scrum, and he's saying a lot of the same things, but in certain ones he says things where you go, ooh, that's juicy right there.
Yeah.
You're right, it does get confusing. Here's where we are right now with the Astros. I feel like we're doing previously on 24. We're kind of like setting the scene. But the apology tour on Thursday did not work. Everybody's angrier now with the Astros than they were before that press conference.
Oh, yeah.
Dodger fans are speaking about the 2017 World Series as if the garbage can scheme was the reason that they lost, and they're essentially led by their leader, Cody Bellinger, declaring themselves world champions of 2017. Carlos Correa has improbably, if you want a Rocky Balboa out of this whole thing, Seth Payne, it's Carlos Correa, who has, in improbable fashion, elevated himself to damn near Mount Rushmore status on the Houston sports scene. And he has achieved the level of what I call PDI, which is Pendergast Diplomatic Immunity, which basically means he could let a coked-up gorilla pulverize his ribs into dust as his masseuse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take a bullet for Carlos That's Correa right. at this point.
Yeah, the guy that a lot of people were down on because of his long and illustrious injury history.
Right.
And the weirdness of
it
all. I don't
care if he plays 10 games this year.
Yes, a lot of people were starting to say, well, look, if they trade him, they trade him. I mean, gosh, you got to do something in the next 2 years. So now...
Guilty.
Now everybody's remembering, well, when he is healthy, he is an MVP candidate,
yeah.
let's remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're going to need some of the stuff like that this year to probably achieve to the level where it's they'll never satisfy people outside of this market, but I think at least to quell some of the vitriol against them, they're going to need things like Carlos Correa reverting to his 2017 form. The solutions are going to have to come from in-house, and Carlos Correa should be right in the middle
of
that, hopefully.
Or just his 2019 form, but stay healthy.
Stay healthy,
He was over 900 OPS this
right.
year. He was probably top 20 OPS.
Yeah.
It's just that he's got to stay healthy. So, and that's where they are. And it's going to anger a lot of people this year when the Astros continue to be really good at the plate, because barring some freakish circumstances, they're going to be really good at the plate, because unlike what the rest of the world believes, they were not doing this scheme in 2019.
Right.
And Rob Manfred, in his interview yesterday on ESPN, said that there was, of 70 witnesses interviewed, all of whom had immunity, at least the players did, not a single one said that buzzers were ever used.
Yeah.
And yet, it seems like most of the baseball world is convinced that the Astros were still doing the same thing in 2017 that they were doing in 2019. Cody Bellinger's flat out wrong. Even if you take away stuff about details of the case, Cody Bellinger says, well, why would they stop in 2019 if it was working in 2017? Because, you dumbass, did you not notice the people in the video room, the monitors Major League Baseball has in the video room, in the dugouts, the increased scrutiny, all that? And a lot of this is there, and I know just from talking to people in and around baseball, a lot of the reason that all of this happened was that because they were definitely cheating in 2017 and early in 2018. The problem is that because the Astros were still so good at the plate in 2019, people in baseball thought, well, they got to be doing something.
Right.
And it's got to be buzzers. And they just started believing it instead of looking at how the Astros do on the road versus at home. All this objective data that shows that there's not any evidence of them doing it in 2019.
Are we the most hated sports city in America right now?
I hope so. I hope so.
You
rest
want
of America,
that.
Yeah. Independent Texas, not even an independent Texas. Independent Southeast, yeah. Just we just gotta just take pretty much south of Dallas, east of San Antonio.
We're hated.
We'll secede. Yeah.
That's it. We're gonna create our own country.
Let's go talk to Mexico and see if maybe we can work out some beneficial trade package.
We should dress like Sith lords every day.
Mm-hmm.
We should wear hoodies every day. We should bring in lightsabers every day. We should shoot lightning bolts at Jonesy every day just to be, Jonesy, you're the only other one here.
That's our practice.
Yeah, we just need somebody to, shoot lightning bolts at, out of our hands.
You got to stay fresh.
That would be great.
Working on my slider this training camp.
It's not just the Astros either. I mean, the Rockets are generally not very well liked around basketball, I think, because James Harden is one of the more polarizing figures in the league.
See,
Bill O'Brien's not exactly, Bill O'Brien's got issues in his own city, but...
Giannis Antetokounmpo, after he lost the All-Star game yesterday, said that their strategy in the fourth quarter was just to go at whoever was being guarded by James Harden. He's just taking shots. After he lost, he's taking shots at James Harden.
And he held up well. Harden showed off his low post defense. They were trying hard at the end of that All-Star game.
Oh, it was a good one, yeah.
That was wild.
It was fun. It was
crazy
actually,
to see.
I was skeptical of that format they used. I'm not going to bore our listeners with explaining it, but it turned into a first to 24 points in the fourth quarter. And it got scrappy. They were playing for charities, and here's the key. Some of the kids from the charity were in the building.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, you're going to let little Johnny down, you rich punk? No, you're not going to, are you? You've got
good.
Some pride left in you.
It was good, man. It was good. I enjoyed the All-Star game last night. All right, Seth mentioned Cody Bellinger. He spewed about a minute's worth of absurdities late last week, and besmirching the good name of Jose Altuve in the process. And Carlos Correa, our new hero, came to the rescue. We will have that for you next. Dude, I got the new iPhone.
I know.
Inspired by you.
Look, I've built up
inspired by you. I went and spent like $2,000 on Saturday.
8 years of credibility on this because I hold Apple to a very high standard. And generally, if I'm talking about Apple on the radio, I'm complaining about it because I feel like I'm never getting it exactly how much I'm paying for with Apple, even though I use exclusively Apple stuff. This is worth it. This I've been so thrilled. I've never been this happy about a new phone, including even the first Apple phone.
Yeah.
Because the first Apple phone, I was still kind of, or the first the iPhone, keyboard. I was kind of like, I miss my BlackBerry. Yeah. Like, nah, this is awesome.
This is legit.
I can shut it down now. Yeah. I might just retire and sit in a room with my iPhone all day.
I've died and gone to technology heaven. Yeah. Cody Bellinger, he had a lot of things to say about the Astros late last week. Here are the highlights.
Thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
All right, so that's some of it. We're going to do a more exhaustive breakdown of it when we've got a longer segment later in the show at 7:30. But those were the points that I think got a lot of Astro fans heated, especially the parts about stealing the ring and Jose Altuve stealing an MVP.
Well, and the 3 years. Just because...
stated as fact.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are saying, well, why do Astros fans care so much about setting the record straight about all this other stuff? Well, because there's a big difference between cheating in 2017 and for a little bit at the beginning of 2018 until they realized that it just wasn't working. There's a big difference between that and saying, no, the entire last 3 years were all a fraud.
Stated as fact.
Right. Especially when it starts coming down to things like Jose Altuve's Hall of Fame candidacy and whatnot. So the two big things that Cody Bellinger just said right there that really tweaked a lot of people the wrong way because they're flat out inaccurate and wrong are the part about the 3 years. Because, no, there's zero evidence of 2019. And then the part about Altuve stealing the MVP from Aaron Judge, because Jose Altuve, by the objective data and by the vociferous defense of Carlos Correa, is the guy that wasn't using it.
Right.
There was between Reddick, Altuve, and Tony Kemp.
Yeah.
Those are the three guys that flat out wanted nothing to do with it.
Right. Here is Carlos Correa coming in and defending his friend Jose Altuve.
I remember one time somebody banged the trash can without his consent while he was hitting. I don't remember if he got a hit, he got out. I just know he was heated. And you guys don't see Altuve mad very often, but you don't want to see him mad. When he gets mad, he's heated. And he's going to tell you whatever he feels and whatever he wants to say. And I remember being heated every time somebody accidentally or without his consent would bang on the trash can.
What was that rubbing sound? Was that his aggressive massage therapist?
I'm not sure.
It's like somebody was either
scribbling
a number two pencil furiously or it was a massage therapist.
It was somebody with a pencil, and they also had the fedora with the sign that says press tucked into the brim of it. Look, if Jose Altuve, if that's true what Correa is saying about Jose Altuve, and I believe it to be true, then Jose Altuve going out there and taking the bullets with that apology on Thursday last week, speaking on behalf of the team, I think says a lot about Jose Altuve, and that Jose Altuve has not come out and said, I was one of the ones who didn't want to use it. That's a dude that's in the foxhole with you, man, Jose Altuve. You know, Correa, I admire Correa taking up for him. I do wonder how some of the guys who he didn't name, when you name Altuve and Reddick and Kemp as guys who didn't want to do it, that means that guys like Springer and Bregman, it implies that they were enthusiastic about it.
Right. Well, in the Astros fan who did the study, you know,
Tony Adams.
And Tony Adams in that study, it showed he counted a total of 22 times where there may have been garbage can thumping when Altuve was at bat. It seems at least, like, according to Correa, at least some of them were against Altuve's wishes. And Tony Adams also said himself he was trying to be as impartial as possible. So there were times where he couldn't identify or didn't sound necessarily the same, but he counted any loud noise as a tub thump. So, I mean, that kind of jibes, Altuve being the lowest percentage guy that had any kind of suspicious activity compared to a lot of the other guys like Springer and Correa and everybody. It jives with what Correa was saying.
Yeah, it lines up with it perfectly. Just for perspective, Jose Altuve, 22, sounds about right. I know it was in the low 20s. The others like Bregman and Springer, Marwin, they were all up well over 100.
Yeah.
You know, Springer was like 139. Marwin was the most garbage can banged hitter that entire season for the Astros.
And based on internal emails from the Astros, Marwin was getting the most benefit from it. Carlos Beltran was actually, ironically, getting the least benefit from it.
Which is still crazy to think. So Carlos Correa, here's actually Carlos Correa naming Altuve, Reddick, and Kemp as guys that didn't want to use the garbage can.
Jose Altuve, Josh Reddick, Tony Kemp, they didn't use it at all. They didn't want to. They would get mad if somebody would bang the trash can when they were hitting. And, those three guys, should be – they're not going to say it. They're not going to say it. Altuve is too humble to go out there and say, Reddick, he's a veteran of this game. He's well-respected on the league. He's not going to go out there and throw his team under the bus. You know, I'm going to say it because I was there. I saw it. I saw it with my own eyes. They didn't want it. So, you know, when this Altuve talk about him stealing the MVP, that should be dead. That should be dead after what I said, after you guys asked Mike Fiers if that's true.
I can't wait to listen to some other markets. I'm going to listen to some L.A. sports talk today, I think. Maybe a little bit in New York. More L.A. New York has kind of quieted down about this whole thing. Which is
especially since Manfred named them again in the interview last night with ESPN.
Yeah, well, and especially with Carlos Beltran in the crosshairs pretty badly. But L.A., between the players and the fans, they can't stop talking about this whole thing. I wonder how believable Correa is to people outside of Houston.
Zero. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. In people's minds, honestly, the problem here in Houston is that because we read every article and we know all these facts of the case, it becomes very clear immediately. As soon as, even when I go on the radio in other markets, I am astounded by how little the hosts actually know about this case. And I understand why that's the case, except it can get frustrating because when you're trying to talk about the finer aspects of it or the details, it's just people, they don't care.
In 30-second answers on an interview.
They want to set people aflame and watch them burn, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. We'll have more Correa sprinkled in throughout the show. I admired some of the stuff that he did. Look, if you were arguing the Astros stealing a World Series, air quotes, Altuve stealing an MVP, air quotes, if you were arguing a lot of these various buzzers, if you were arguing these things, Carlos, if you were doing it in a court of law, Carlos Correa would be the attorney that I'd want. My assumption is that people around the country, once they got about 30 seconds into his two-minute explanation on why the Astros didn't steal the 2017 World Series, because he was going into specific at-bats, specific games, specific pitch counts, they were probably checked out like, yeah, dude, thou doth protest too much. But we'll continue to play it here in Houston throughout the show for you. Seth mentioned Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. He spoke yesterday. He did a press conference. He also did a lengthy interview with ESPN. How close did Rob Manfred come to stripping the Astros of their 2017 World Series championship? We'll let the commissioner tell you next. How close did Rob Manfred come to stripping the Astros of their 2017 championship? Here is the commissioner in an interview with ESPN.
How much do you struggle with that decision, not to strip that away?
I don't, because, Carl, I think once you start down that road, and this is the last piece of it, once you start down that road, where you stop is a really difficult thing to figure out. Do you go back and, you know, every individual game, every series where someone, for example, broke the rules by using steroids, do I have to go back and clean all that up? It's just an impossible position to be in as an institution.
I actually agree with that line of thinking, especially in a sport like baseball, Seth, where cheating has been so prevalent, honestly, since the game was invented back in the late 1800s. I mean,
if you go back and overturn every time a pitcher was using a substance.
Yeah, no, every Gaylord Perry start.
Right, or in modern times.
Sure.
I mean, you read between the lines on it, and there's a whole lot of various things going on, which is always, and Manfred addressed several times, kind of the murky area that exists, and especially in 2017, I think that's one thing we've lost sight of. And again, I'm not excusing it, but one of the big points that Manfred made was that it was murkier in 2017 as to what was and was not allowed. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons they decided to give the players immunity was that it was very real. This was not a PR thing. the GM and the coach did not relay the information to the players that they were supposed to relay to the players. After the Red Sox and the Yankees were investigated for using technology, Luno was supposed to deliver a message to the players, and the message was never delivered. So there was this environment where everybody thought everybody else was doing some kind of, like, all kinds of chicanery with electronics, and the message was never delivered. So they said, all right, well, we're going to give the players a chance to speak freely about this.
In his press conference that he did with the media, that was, these cuts you're going to hear are from a sit-down interview with Carl Ravitch of ESPN, where he says some of the same things that he did in his press conference. But the commissioner does this press conference every year. It's almost like what Goodell does at the Super Bowl every year, where he sort of gives the state of the league. Manfred does this in spring training every year. He happens to be doing it in the midst of one of the biggest scandals since steroids back in the early part of this century. And so a lot of the questions, a huge percentage of the questions at that press conference had to do with the Astros and with sign stealing and with the cheating. He was asked in that press conference about the thought, how much thought went into possibly stripping the Astros of the title. And the one thing that he said that I found, I don't know if surprising is the word, but as somebody who lives in Houston who does not want that title stripped, obviously, is he said they spent a lot of time thinking about it. He said if you took all of the things that they discussed in the meetings where they were talking about punishments for the Astros, that they, and if you took it, if you broke it down in terms of the amount of minutes they spent discussing it, stripping the title was near the top of the list of topics that they discussed in the private sessions where they were coming up with what the punishment should be for the Astros. That's a little scary. It ultimately doesn't matter. They didn't do it, but wow, it would have been really interesting to hear.
Well, and he also talked about just how it stood in relation to other scandals throughout history, whether it's the White Sox, whether it's the Black Sox or anything like that. And that's where I guess I don't know if they were ever perilously close to losing it, but they talked about it. And this is how Manfred thought about it in relation to other scandals.
Where do you as the commissioner sort of put this scandal relative to steroids or the 1919 Black Sox scandal? Where does this fit in?
Well, you know, we actually talked a lot about trying to figure out an order there, because it helps you think through what should happen in terms of discipline. I think that the worst scandal has to be a scandal that involved people not trying to win, right? That's the worst possible thing that can happen. I think this comes in behind that, right behind it. And I think it's so serious because it's tangible. It's not like breaking a financial rule that applies to how many players you can sign in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. This is about what happens on the field in a tangible way. And I put it so high on the list in terms of how serious it is because our fans can touch it. They feel it.
So there you go. The rationale makes sense to me, especially the part about not trying to win. Like if you have a team out there that's not trying to win,
right?
That strikes at you're wrestling at that point.
Right.
You're WWE.
You're screwing over the gamblers too. The gamblers. I feel like gamblers
depends on what side you're
gamblers,
on.
Gamblers. If you're a gambler, Sean, hypothetically say you're a gambler.
Yeah.
But I feel like
my friends with Shoeless Joe Jackson.
I feel like
do I have the information?
I feel like a super smart gambler would have the advantage of the gambling baked in, or of the sign stealing baked in, that it would have worked out, even though a lot of the advanced stats don't really support that it was better at home versus on the road, whatever.
Right.
You would, that's kind of part of the game, and both teams are still trying to win at least.
Right.
Versus when one team just decides to lose, you're screwed. No amount of handicapping is going to protect you in that instance.
And the 1919 Chicago White Sox, Seth, were successful in losing the 1919 right. World Series.
You're set, which is, again,
the Cincinnati Reds.
Bush League right there. The way to do it, if you're going to shave points, is that you shave points in games that you win.
Yeah.
If you're favored to win, you win by a little less.
Yeah.
That's actually the easiest to figure out, too, for the advanced mathematicians these days, because you're like, wait a second. How is this team consistently just playing so atrociously in the fourth quarter?
I'm on the baseballreference.com page for the 1919 Chicago White Sox. Their manager's name was Kid Gleason.
Okay.
That sounds like a wrestler's name, actually.
That's how they first.
Weighing 230 pounds from the south side of Chicago, Kid Gleason.
You know, that's how the Gamblers decided to target the White Sox, too. Right. It wasn't even, it had nothing to do with anything other than, like, this kid sounds like somebody that would be into this.
The names, here are the names of the lineup of the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, the scandal-ridden Chicago Black Sox. These all sound like 1919 names. Ray Schalk at first base, huh? Chick Gandel at second base. Eddie Collins, no, I'm sorry, Chick Gandel at first base. Shortstop, Swede Risberg.
Swede. They got the Swede.
Third baseman, Buck Weaver. Hey, Buck, how you doing? Left field, Nemo Liebold. Center field, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Mm-hmm. And outfielder, right field, Happy Felch.
Oh, wow. Did any of those, how many of those guys actually went by their actual names?
I don't know. These are the names that baseballreference.com is using for them. Baseballreference.com includes Shoeless as Joe Jackson's first name, basically.
There's still historians within baseball, within Major League Baseball. I was reading quotes from one of them. There's a guy at Major League Baseball, one of his areas of expertise is still deciding whether or not Shoeless Joe Jackson should be readmitted into baseball.
Okay, here.
So this is going to be, here we are, how many years later, a century later, talking about the Swede and whatnot.
Right.
Is this going to be, are people going to be talking on whatever medium is common? Are people going to be telepathically transmitting the lineup from the 2017 Astros to some baseball fans 100 years from now?
And be like, yeah, they have this guy, Jose Altuve.
Jose Altuve.
What a funny name, Carlos Correa. You'll find this not surprising at all, that the four starting pitchers for the 1919 Chicago Black Sox, their first names, Eddie, Lefty, Red, and Grover.
Wow.
The most 1919 star. Grover Loudermilk.
Well, Grover was a common name until the damn Sesame Street ruined it. I mean, Grover, where you had a president
ruined
named
it. Grover.
Grover
was cuddly and delightful.
Right.
Was,
and then Grover, is Grover a Sesame Street character?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
He's and now you can, once somebody becomes a Sesame Street character, you can't use that name.
Kermit.
Especially Grover. Yeah. Grover looks like he needs Blue Chew, ironically enough. He just doesn't even look like that little look on his face. Like, yeah, you're just so beautiful, I guess. I get intimidated.
So back to Rob Manfred. Manfred sitting down with ESPN. Why did he name Luno, Hinch, Cora, and Beltran, and that's it?
Luno and Hinch were easy for me. Actually, Luno, Hinch, and Cora were easy for me. When you look at the facts that were found by the investigative unit, Luna was the baseball official, the highest ranking one. We reached the conclusion he either knew or should have known what was going on and that he did inadequate things to prevent this type of behavior even after he was warned about it. So that was easy for me. AJ's been very open about what went on. He knew it was happening. He didn't stop it. He was there every day. I mean, that's kind of the end of the story from my perspective. And, I don't want to say too much about Alex because we have an open investigation there. I will say the investigators confirmed what was in the original article that started all this, that Alex was at the core of what's going on. The tough one for us was Carlos Beltran because of his status. He was a player, right? And the activity took place while he was a player, and he was covered by the immunity. The reason we ended up mentioning him was credibility. He had been mentioned so prominently in the original article. We thought that to not explain what we found about Beltran, people would see it as some sort of a lack of transparency, and we really wanted to avoid that above everything else.
And the Mets kind of did him a solid too, Seth, by firing Beltran, because now there is at least some sort of pound of flesh that was extracted from Carlos Beltran in this whole thing.
And Carlos Beltran was a little sticky as well, because in this interview, Luno at length explains exactly why they chose to give the players immunity.
Manfred, excuse me.
Did I say Luno?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you another thing about this interview.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that finally in this interview we've discovered and we actually have some clarity on the situation is that nobody in baseball actually knows the correct way to pronounce Jeff Luno's name. We really don't know if it's Luno right. or Luno. I know Jim Crane usually says Luno.
Yeah.
Both these jokers were saying Luno. Yeah,
people who work with him have different pronunciations.
A lot of other, most other people yeah. say Luno, so there we go. But as far as deciding whether or not to go after Beltran, you have this guy that's straddling both pools. Is yeah. he a player? Is he a coach? And they treated him like a coach. But yeah, I wonder at some point, I guess, they decided to give all the active players immunity. At some point, they had to tell Beltran, I suppose, right, that Beltran is doing this interview and he wasn't granted immunity the way that the players were.
Well, did he get punished by baseball in this thing? He got fired by the Mets.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I think he was I think he was treated like a player.
Okay, so he was treated like a player.
Yeah,
so basically,
I mean, the Mets
any players from 2017.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So the Mets punished him by you know, taking his dream job away from him before he even managed a baseball game.
Yeah.
But he was treated like a player in the whole thing.
The other thing, I mean, and then he's going to be punished. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame candidate. You know,
he's not making the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
now.
And
he's
and
no chance.
He's
now.
Boy, and again,
he was fringe to begin with.
The great irony of all this is that he's the guy who benefited the least from the actual cheating.
Yes, I created this system that got me excommunicated from baseball and made me worse at my job.
It's really almost kind of like if you wrote it in a fairy tale or something about how to tell kids why not to cheat or how to cheat. In terms of the individuals, look at what happened here. Look at what happened here. Carlos Beltran's the guy who drove it, and he benefited the least from it, according to the Astros' internal documents. And then Jose Altuve, it looks like there's a very, very good chance that Jose Altuve benefited zero from this and didn't want anything to do with it, and yet his Hall of Fame candidacy is going to be damaged, threatened by this because of a scheme in which he didn't participate.
Yeah, this it'll get mentioned for sure when his time comes. Seth, you mentioned Luno's role in this whole thing. Jim Crane was given orders, as all the owners were. This memo, the owners and the GMs were given the memo in September of 2017 about the new punishments for electronic sign stealing after the Red Sox Apple Watch scandal. Jim Crane's direct orders to Jeff Luno were to follow the edict of the commissioner.
He did instruct Jeff Luno to make sure that they were behaving in compliance with the rules. When that happened, I felt that, you know, his effort in that regard was sort of the key to the finding we made with respect to the owner.
And then Carl Ravage after this does a really weird thing. He had kind of a stank face look on his face the whole time. It was annoying. So Manfred said that, and Ravage said, oh, and then he never followed up on it. Like, well, yeah, and Manfred says, yeah, because he's running other businesses. He told, when you tell your general manager, hey, take care of this, you trust that he takes care of it. Do you not?
Yeah, of
course. I stick up for Crane on this.
Yeah, no, of course. No, when you delegate, you expect it to be done. Are you surprised? I saw a lot of criticism over the weekend about this because we learned about the memo and about who it was given to and whatnot, but it's come under much more scrutiny that it was the owners and the general managers who were communicated to by the commissioner, and it was left up to them to communicate it with the players. I saw a lot of criticism over the weekend about the way this whole thing was administered and wondering, why didn't baseball just tell the players also? Why were they leaving it up to the individual teams to convey that message to the players? Why wouldn't you? I saw someone even suggest this, and I thought, as someone who's, you know, been in the corporate world both here and outside of radio, who's had to go through hundreds of different HR sort of presentations or videos and take these little online tests where you got to answer 10 questions to show that you know you're compliant with it. Why didn't baseball do something like that, where they came up with some sort of 5 to 10 minute video explaining what exactly you're being told not to do, and then make the players sign off on some sort of compliance thing?
Well, and even whether the players sign off on it or not, the NFL, when they do this and when they change, especially to the PED policy, when they make changes, there are posters and placards up in the locker room.
Yes.
In a place where you can't help but see it 4 times a day. They take, I didn't know, out of it. Like, that's never going to be a defense. When they change the PED policy and they add a couple substances to it or something, they're never going to be able to have a player come back and say, well, actually, I didn't even know. Nobody told me.
Is the notification just posters on the wall or things that are posted everywhere? Or do they make you sign off on something saying, nope, I understand.
No, they don't make you sign off.
They don't.
Anything,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's more than baseball. Does.
I don't know. You know what? I shouldn't speak out of turn.
Sure.
Unless, as far as I know, they don't.
In your time as a player, yeah. It's more than what baseball did here because there was a clear disconnect. Whatever message. Now, again, these guys are adults. Well, they knew what they were doing was wrong.
And Carl Ravitch has a good follow-up, which said that, well, shouldn't guys know? I think the answer to that, and again, I'm not excusing anything at all, but I do think you have to kind of remember the context with which in which this was happening, which was, okay, the Yankees and the Red Sox had been pinched for using electronics. A lot of people thought that they hadn't been caught doing a lot worse or more extensive things. So there was this culture in that time, at least in the AL, where players thought that the best teams were all doing all this stuff, and it was crazy, and it was out of control.
Yeah.
And it was an arms race. And does that make it right? No, but it felt a lot like that. Just in the same way, it's ironic that some players this weekend said, well, this is worse than baseball because in baseball, everybody was doing it. The same thinking or culture led to it. In baseball with steroids, it turned into, well, if all my competitors are doing it, or half of them are, a bunch of them are, I guess I have to just to keep up. So where it snowballs, there was a little bit of that same hyper-competitive panic setting in 2017. So when the communication is, when the communication from the league doesn't come through, in my mind, yes, it does excuse it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not completely and totally, but it gives some context to the whole thing.
Text message. Do the players even have email addresses?
These kids don't know what email is. They got to Insta it to them.
Yeah.
Manfred DM'd everybody.
Post the memo on an Instagram post.
Manfred got up and he tried to dress kind of what he thought was hip and cool. He had a backwards baseball cap and a gold chain.
He used a filter with a dog nose and ears. His tongue, he stuck his tongue out a few times. So this gigantic, huge cartoon tongue would come out of his mouth.
And he started talking like a 1990s.
Right.
Fresh Prince era.
Oh,
rapper.
Will Smith. Yeah. The topic of buzzers obviously came up with Rob Manfred. Here's what he had to say.
We found no evidence, not a single witness who could corroborate that there were buzzers being used during the 2019 season. Indeed, that they were doing anything inappropriate during the 2019 season. Given that the players told us, you know, chapter and verse about 2017 and chapter and verse about 2018, it does give some credibility to the denials that were uniform about the use of buzzers in 2019.
Right. Now, that was the interesting quote. Of course, what he said afterwards is a quote that a lot of people ran with, which is he stated the logical truth, the mathematical truth, that he could never say 100% that they didn't use buzzers,
right,
because it's impossible to say
that. So
that
means to some there's a 95% chance they used
them. Well, to some people that was like Manfred saying, well, you know, that's the annoying part of it. The headline becomes that. When,
yep.
In effect, he's saying, this is what you need to know. Manfred and this team interviewed 70 people. The players were given immunity. They spoke freely and at length about everything that happened in 2017, admitted to all that wrongdoing. Yet, you want me to believe, people out there would have you believe that somehow 70 people all got on the same page and not a single one of them said something about buzzers in 2019, but buzzers were actually there? This is what's driving me insane, is people are acting like any rumor they hear must be true.
Yeah.
Because the Astros were guilty in 2017, they think it's okay to say, well, everything that I hear about 2019 is true too. And it's driving me insane.
Don't go insane. I 100% understand the skepticism by people outside of Houston towards anything related to the Astros. I get it. I understand that. The people who are stating that they definitely used buzzers and stating it as fact, to me, Seth, sound like Kyrie Irving talking about the earth being flat. They sound like flat earth truthers to me. That they're that they are that strong in their convictions that the Astros used a scheme where they're attaching electronics to their bodies in a game, that they are that convinced that it definitely took place, sound like flat earth truthers to me.
Yeah.
They sound crazy. They sound insane.
It's And I guess the disappointing part to me, and the Astros did this to themselves. Correa said as much. They did it to themselves. But it shouldn't. If you're a person who's acting like you're standing up for integrity and you're shouting down the dirty cheaters, then perhaps you should have a little integrity yourselves in how you go about doing
That's
it.
That's not a bad point.
That it shouldn't just be, oh, okay, yeah, this is going to be a Salem witch trial, and anything we say, we're just going to call you guilty no matter what.
And be careful. Make sure your house is in order. Some of these players that are speaking out about the Astros, do we honestly think the Astros and the Red Sox are going to be the last teams where we learn definitively that some sort of cheating took place? Mm-hmm. I don't. I think something's going to come out about some other team. I'm not saying baseball is going through investigations of other teams. There will be another Mike Fiers. There will be another player that goes to the media because they feel jilted by a former team. They're not going to be – Fiers still has a career to think about. There will be players with a lot less to lose than Mike Fiers who will give an interview to The Athletic or any other outlet. And I hope it's one of these teams like the Dodgers, the Yankees, whatever team Trevor Bauer is playing for. I hope it's one of those teams that gets caught in the crosshairs.
Fiers was given the opportunity this week to comment on Carlos Correa's assertion that Jose Altuve wasn't a part of this scheme. So Correa said Altuve, Reddick, and Tony Kemp wanted nothing to do with this. Right. Fiers was given a chance to comment on that, and he did not.
Interesting.
And it's maybe that's his policy, but this part of it, I don't like shaming the whistleblower or anything like that. I don't want to get into that culture. But if he has a chance to stick up for Jose Altuve in something that might affect his Hall of Fame candidacy, I mean, it definitely will affect it, whether it's conclusive or not.
Right.
That's bothering me. That's annoying me. And I wonder, what did Altuve ever do to Mike Fiers?
I wonder if that's just going to be his policy, because you remember his first interaction with the media, Seth, heading into spring training.
Yeah.
He didn't want anything to do with answering questions about anything having to do with this scandal.
Right, right.
It could just be the policy.
Well, because like it hasn't happened with Carlos Correa, when you stick up for those three, you are also saying the rest of us are totally 100% guilty, which they are, you know, and Correa admits it.
Yep.
That's what's driving me crazy too, Sean. The people acting like Houston fans aren't admitting anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we totally and freely admit it, of course. We're not calling these guys. It's just, of course they obviously cheated in 2017.
We admit they did it, and they sucked at apologizing for it. We admit all these things.
They were fine in the press conference.
Yeah.
The press conference.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of outrage going on about this whole thing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.